That's you. You're the construction site. There's a bunch of dirt. That's you. There's a backhoe bucket digging in the dirt. That's the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what this series is supposed to do today, is dig out some of the old things that you're supposed to put off and pack in some of the new things that you're supposed to put on. So what this really is a subtitle could be How to Change as a Child of God. And we should be thinking about the fact that we're really doing a branch of theology now called sanctification. That is, how does the child of God become holy? How do we become more like Christ? What do we have to do to follow Jesus Christ? We're very much in that today. But I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 21. We're not going to work like phrase by phrase through these verses like we usually do. We're going to approach it topically rather for a change. But here it is, Ephesians 4, 17 to 21. This is God's word. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Man, what's going on out there in our world? That's what it is. It's the way they walk in the futility of their minds. Bless God, Christ. I'd be out there walking with them if the Lord hadn't intervened, come into my soul, and called me to Jesus Christ. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. They've given themselves up to that. Greedy, look at this phrase, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Man, is that our day or what? It's like, how many kinds of impurity can we invent? And we're greedy to invent some more and practice them all. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. And here's what you were taught. Here's sanctification. Here's what this series is based on. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's what we're going to be looking at. You've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now the grace of God that saves you also instructs you to deny ungodliness and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil age, Titus 3. The grace of God that saves you also works in you to change you, to help you to put off and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on as a new creature in Christ. Here's Paul's first example. Therefore, having put away falsehood, put that off. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, put that on. For we are members one of another. There's some of the renewing of your mind that must happen, so you put that off and put that on. Hey, I'm members with them. Here's another example. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Put that off. That's going to come up later again. Here's another example. Let the thief no longer steal, put that off, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need, put that on. Here's another one. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, put that off, but only such as is, put this on, as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Here's another one. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Put that off. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Renew your mind with that truth. Here's another one. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. That is one packed verse in the Word of God. And here's what you put on instead. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4, 17 through 21. Paul gives many more examples down through chapter 5, but we're going to stop our reading there for today. Would you bow with me as we pray together, please? Thank you, O Father, for gathering us as your redeemed people through the shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, O God, for the remission of our sins, the forgiven and forgiveness and pardon for our trespasses. Thank you that by grace you've made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank you that old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we pray now that your word will dig very deeply into the soil of our hearts We pray that this will be a season when, in very life-changing ways, we experience the powers of the age to come, the power of the Word of God, the power of the Spirit of God in our souls to make us less like the world and more like Jesus Christ. Have your way in us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the series is called Put Off, Put On, and today's sermon is How To. How To Put Off and Put On. How To. How do I do that? So right up front, let's get started. Here are three things that I want you to know, three things that grow out of our text, really. The first one is this: you can change. So I'm assuming that you know you need to, and I'm telling you, you can. Let's just make sure you know you need to. Where are you? You're on the earth. Are you in heaven yet? No. Are you the spiritual just man made perfect yet? No. So you're still you're a work in progress, right? So you have things that you need to change. You are not yet completely, neither am I, of course. We are not completely conformed to the image of Christ. Some of you are already probably very conscious of, I know exactly what I really need to work on. I know exactly what I really need to change. Good. Keep that in your focus throughout this message today. But all of us have things that we need to work on. All of us have ways we need to become less like the old man and more like the new man in Christ. And here's the good news is you can change. You can. You can. Where do I get that out of the text? Well, look at Ephesians 4:17 with me again. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must. Well, if I must, then I can. Right? If I must, then I can. If I'm obligated to do it, then I must be able to do it. That you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds, but he goes on to put on the new man. So you can change. There are things about you that need to change, and the good news is in Christ you can change. I'm assuming you're in Christ. If you're not, start there. Believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. Repent of your sins and call upon the name of the Savior and become a child of God with a new heart and the Spirit of God dwelling within you and the powers of the Word of God now go to work in your soul to change you. So I'm assuming you're in Christ and your regenerate heart in Christ, you are primed for change. You are fertile for change. You are prepped for change. You have readiness for change. Regenerate heart with the Spirit of God in it and the Word of God coming to it is powerful to change. You can change. Not one of you can say, I can't. If you're a Christian, you can't say, I can't. I can't change. You can't say that. Here's a verse about that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No, not one. How many? No. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. That helps, but let's go on. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You can endure the temptation and not give in. So you can't say can't. You can't say, nope, I have such a temptation. There's a thing I need to change. It's so hard to change. I can't. You can't say that. Whatever you're dealing with is common to man. Lots of other people are dealing with the same thing. And God provides a way. And today we're going to be looking at some of that way. We're going to be looking very directly at some of that way. So emphatically, I say to you, you can't say can't. You might be stuck. I'm going to try and help you get unstuck. You might have been unsuccessful so far. I'm going to try and help you be successful so you can change. And here's something interesting, what we know now about brain plasticity. Our brains are incredible. What a piece of work is a human brain. Man, the most complex thing we've discovered in the universe, a human brain. You just absolutely cannot convince me that that thing evolved from dirt. There's no way on God's green earth I'm going to believe that. God designed that. Your brain was designed by God. And it's the most mysterious and amazing thing we've got that we've found so far in the universe. And the brain that we know now, it has this plasticity thing. How do we get the way we are? Well, in part by birth and in part by nature. There's nature, that's nature rather, and nurture. There's nature and nature is birth and then there's nurture. So some of what you were born with, and some of what you are, you developed, but all of it can change. And they tell us now that our brains can physically and structurally and functionally change, even to some extent in advanced years. maybe less than if you were 17. But even in advanced years, our brains can still change. So when you see somebody and there's something about them that's not good, not healthy, not right, you say, how did they get that way? Well, part of it is nurture. Part of it is what they've done. They've been digging themselves into that rut of character, that rut of behavior for, let's say, 10 years. 10 years, it's like a car. If you have a car and you're in the mud, and for 10 years you go back and forth in the mud, what happens? Well, you get deeper and deeper and deeper in the rut and in the mud. And sanctification is kind of like that. How do I get out of the mud of my ways of life that I've dug myself into? Well, you have to back up and pour in some sand and pull forward. The sand is the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you pull forward and then you pour in some sand and then you back up and back and forth. And the same way you worked yourself down into that, you can work yourself up out of that by the power of the word of God and the Spirit of God. You can change. If you haven't been successful at changing, it's because you have not been trying it God's way. You have not been trying the things that God tells you to do so that you can change. Have you dug yourself into an angry person? You're 10 years angry. You can dig yourself into a kind, thoughtful, gracious, patient person. You can. In the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't say, no, I can't. That'll never happen to me. I'm just an angry person. Oh, I believe you that you're an angry person, but you don't have to stay there. The Word of God and the Spirit of God at work in your soul can make you a gracious and kind person. Look down with me if you have your text open. We're going to spend a whole message on this part in a few weeks. Let all bitterness, are you a bitter person, and wrath, notice how these things cluster together, and anger and clamor and slander, those all travel together, they're buddies. Let them be put away from you. We're going to put them off, along with all malice. And what do you put on instead? You can be this. You can become this and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You can. Have you dug yourself into an angry person? And maybe you even got some of it just by nature and just by birth, and that does happen. You can become a kind, gracious, patient, thoughtful person. And oh, may you. Oh, may you while we're in this portion of the Word of God. So good news, you can change. Second point for you to know up front in this little series, what to change. I have a hunch most of us already know. We already know. I know I need to work on that. I know I need to change the other. We probably already know. But in case we don't know, Paul gives us a list. And his list is interesting and it's not at all surprising. It's very, very common human sins. Like Paul doesn't go out on a branch and name something that that almost nobody does. Let's say he doesn't name, I'll make something up, this is dumb. He doesn't name, so you're eating with your mouth open. That must change. All right, yeah, that probably should change. We're staying with eating in etiquette. He doesn't say, you're taking your fork and you're shaking it with the sharp end out in people's face while you're talking. That's threatening. Miss Manners tells you don't do that. Paul doesn't tell you, he doesn't choose that. What does he choose? He gives us a list. He starts off with sexual immorality back in verse 19. They've become callous and have given themselves up to sexuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified by the Spirit of our God. He starts with sexual immorality, very, very, very common human sin. You can change. And then he goes on to verse 25, falsehood, fibbing, lying. Is that a common human sin, telling lies? Yeah, it is. Quit your lying ways. That could be a title for one of the common sermons, huh? Therefore, having put away falsehood, he goes to that, speak truth. Then he goes to anger, to verse 26, be angry, do not sin. Is anger a common human problem? Yeah, like how many people in this room have ever been angry? All. Have ever been unrighteously angry? All. Some have really been angry a lot because nature and nurture, but he deals with anger. Then verse 28, he goes to stealing, the mental version of which is covetousness. right? There's always aversion in the heart, and there's always aversion in the deed. He goes to stealing. He wants you to no longer steal, but become a giver. And then verse 29, he goes to the words that come out of your mouth. Let no corrupting talk, bad mouthing, bad talk, rotten talk. And he goes on and on. Verse 31, as I read before, he goes to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, that cluster, that group of things that go together, and instead be kind to one another. Paul picks these things and tells us, these are the things I want you to put off, and the opposites are there things that I want you to put on. So did that list find you? Did anything in that list locate you? Is God's airplane, is his bomber flying right over you right now? Has he found the target? Okay then, pray, Lord, would you use this time, please, to work in me deeply by your word and the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of Jesus Christ, my Savior, by grace, to change me starting now. Oh, Lord, would you change me starting now? And here's a good list what to change. You can change. That's number two, what to change. Here's a third thing, how to change. And I really want you to get this part today. There are four steps in our text, four things to do. Try it God's way. Change God's way. Sanctification God's way. These are some of the means of grace. How to change? A, be made new in Christ. So you got to start with being a believer. Can non-believers change? Yes, they can, because God gives this thing, and the Bible teaches us a doctrine of common grace. There's special grace or saving grace. Believers receive that. And there's common grace. Common grace is not as powerful. It's not as clear. But in common grace, can a man be a good husband? Yes. In common grace, can a woman be a good wife? Yes. Can a man and a woman be patient with one another? Yes. In common grace, because God gives those gifts. But it's dramatically different. It's dramatically better if you have a new heart and the Spirit of God lives in you and you receive the Word of God, bowing the knee before the sovereignty of Christ in your life. It's dramatically better and dramatically different. Start by believing on the Lord Jesus. If you're not there yet, start there. Go to the cross, repent, call upon his saving name, and now you've got a new heart that's primed for change. You've got the Spirit of God inside you. You're ready for change. So first, be made new in Christ. Then the next thing, that's verse 20. Then the next thing, verse 22, he tells us, put off the old man. Now that phrase, put off, I think it's supposed to mean, scholars think it's supposed to mean, this is like you're supposed to imagine now you've got on a piece of clothing and it's dirty and it's disheveled and maybe it's torn and it looks bad. And you're going to, in our case, button. I don't think they had buttons. You're going to unbutton it and you're going to put it off. So you're putting off something that is not clean, something that is not good, something that is not like Christ. There are things we all have to put off. So every one of us will have some putting off to do. The putting off might be lying. The putting off might be immorality. The putting off might be thieving, stealing. The putting off might be anger and bitterness and wrath and malice and slander. The putting off might be, all of us will have some putting off to do. So I pray that you'll come into this little series thankful for it, thankful for the text, asking God, oh Lord, please use this time to work in me so that I may finally put off. And then you fill in the blank. What do you want to put off? What do you need to put off? What does the Spirit of God put his finger on you right now and indicates to you? There it is. You know what it is. And then next, we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Let me read that again. That's verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and then to put on the new self. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I use this phrase reverently of the Word of God. That's the secret sauce. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. We'll come back to that. And then you're going to put on the new man, like a new shirt. So you take off the old shirt, you change the way you're thinking about that shirt and what was on it and the dirt that's on it and how it's disheveled and not pleasing to Christ. And you change your thinking about that, and then you put on something else, the new shirt. You put on the new man. So here's what I want you to understand. The text doesn't just call you to stop doing things that are wrong. Like, that's not the goal. That's not enough. It doesn't just say, all right, are you thieving? Let's take the, are you thieving? Stop thieving and then you'll be good. No, the text always tells you to stop that and replace it with this. So here's a trick question for you. When is a thief no longer a thief? What's the answer? When he stops thieving? No, that's just a thief who's temporarily out of business. That's just a thief who knows the law is watching me. I better stop stealing right now. But he's still got thieving in his soul, thieving in his heart, thieving in his mind. That's not a rehabilitated thief. He's just out of business at the moment. When is a thief no longer a thief? When it becomes something else. What's the something else? That's verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather him, here's what he becomes, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands. Get into that. Get into honest work with your own hands. I love doing some honest work with my hands. Do that so that there's a higher goal the thief has. Here's a rehabilitated thief. He's working with his hands so that he may have something to share, to give with anyone in need. So instead of, I want to take what you have so I could now have it free of charge without much work, instead, I want to work with my hands so I can give to you when you have a need. That is a rehabilitated thief. When is an angry person no longer an angry person? When they stop being angry? No, that's just an angry person temporarily out of work. That's an angry person who's pushed the pause button on their anger. When is an angry person no longer an angry person? When they become, verse 32, kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You are no longer, you're not just to put off the old man, you're to put on the new man. Now, the text doesn't say this, but I'm going to suggest it because I just think it works and I think it's right. You'll do better if you focus more on putting on the new man. And we tend to not focus on that at all. We tend to think, I got to stop doing this. I got to stop getting angry. I'm going to try and stop getting angry. No, you need to focus on, I'm going to work on becoming kind and tenderhearted and gracious in my soul, in my thoughts, and so in my words and my deeds with people. This is putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Let me illustrate it with an old riddle. You've probably heard it. Here it is. When is a door no longer a door? Yeah, when it becomes something else, a jar. All right. So again, when is a thief no longer a thief? When he becomes a happy giver. When is an angry person no longer an angry person? When they become self-controlled, gracious, thoughtful, kind, and generous in their words. So this is not just about stopping doing some bad stuff, putting off. This is about putting on. Let's take the angry person again, because Paul loads that one up the biggest in verse 31. He spends the most words on that cluster of things that tend to travel together in verse 31. Let's say you've been an angry person. To the extent that your whole family is always walking on eggs, and when you enter the room, they cringe getting ready for the next verbal assault. Well, you need to stop that. If that's you, may you now, in the power of the Word of God, in the hands of the Spirit of God, may you now, may this be a decisive moment in your life where you begin to stop that. But you don't just stop that. Instead, you need to become a person who, when you enter the room, they go, ah, he's here. Ah, she's here, because they know there will be gracious words and thoughtful and kind and self-controlled and generous words that will build up, that will bless, that will encourage. Ah, I'm so glad she's come into the room. You want to become that person. Back to the thief, you used to love stealing. They tell us, you know, I don't know if this is true or not. What do you think? That it's not always about the thing. It's often about the thrill of getting the thing. Is that right? That's what they say. I think it's also sometimes about the thing, right? I want your thing. I covet it. I want it. I take it. I'm going to sell it and get money for it, whatever. But you used to love stealing. You love the excitement and you got stuff. But now you're in Christ, so what do? You stop thieving, but you be renewed. You're going to think very differently about stealing now. You're going to think very differently about coveting now. You're going to think very differently about private property and the will of God and what God in this providence has given to them and has not given to us. You're going to think very differently about A Protestant biblical work ethic, working hard with your own hands that you provide for your own and for other needy people around you. And so you're going to start thinking very differently and becoming something different, a rehabilitated thief. So the thing I want you to know is, this is how putting off and putting on works. The secret sauce, if you will, is in the renewing of your mind. So let's zoom in on that a little bit now. You staying with me? You all with me? We're going to zoom in on the renewing of your mind. That's where it really happens. That's what enables you to put off and causes you to put on. It's renewing, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. What is that? Let me give you some verses that will help. Romans 12:2. Pardon me. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. This world like we read about in Ephesians 4. Angry people in the world, thieving people in the world, and all the rest. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's what we're after, transformation. Not just stopping being that, but becoming the other. I'm transformed from that to that by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, which is good, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I just want the phrase, the renewal of your mind. You need a renewal of your mind so you think and feel differently about that and that. How do I renew my mind? All right, again, this is the secret sauce, but it's no secret. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. General Joshua is going to lead the people of Israel in the conquest of the land of Canaan. No small task. How are we going to do that? How are we going to be successful at such a big thing as that? Here's what Joshua's told. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do. How can I become careful to do? How can I become careful to put that off? How can I become careful to put that on? How can I become careful to do? I feel like I'm stuck. Change isn't happening. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Joshua, you need to renew your mind. You need to renew your mind and think a lot about what Scripture says about your task, what you need in your life right now. Philippians says about the same thing, different words. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, those are all the things we want to put on. Think about these things. How am I going to put off? How am I going to put on? I'm going to start thinking differently about things. How am I going to do that? Let's go on. Another verse that helps. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed. Do you want to be blessed? Do this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, Ephesians 4, in the foolishness and darkness of their minds, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's how. We're going to make this more specific in a minute. Stay with me. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? I like that it says young man. This is a young man. Lots of energy. A healthy young man. How can he keep his way pure? I can't. No, you can't say can't. Here's how you can do it. By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander, he's praying. Let me not wander, oh God, let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can I keep my way pure? How can I not sin against you? I have stored up your word in my heart. That has to mean he memorized it. Probably also means he's meditating on it. We're going to come back to that. Staying with me. Another passage. How do I be renewed in the spirit of my mind? 1 Peter 2, 1-3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. It's what you want to put off. as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How can I grow out of those things and into these things? By the pure milk of the word. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So how do I change? There are some means God has put in our hands, my dear brothers and sisters. We can't just sit there like blobs and say, well, I wish change would come. Passively waiting for it. It just isn't coming. I prayed that God would take that away and change me. He didn't. Well, did you take up the means that he puts in your hands? No, I guess I'm a thief and I can't change. I guess I'll just always be a thief. I guess I'll die a thief. I'm angry. I just can't change. I guess I just need other people to affirm my anger and I need to justify my anger. No, that's not biblical at all. Get busy renewing your mind about thieving, about anger, about lying. Here's what I mean. Are you lying and you want to stop lying? Find one good verse, you got one right here in Ephesians 4, about not lying anymore. Memorize that verse. Are you horrible at memorizing? All right, write it down on a 3x5 card. Put it on the lock screen of your phone. How's that? Every time you click your phone to open, there is that verse staring at you. And it's a verse telling you to put off lying. And you see it 175 times a day. How often do you open your phone every day? And you got it taped on the mirror, the 3x5 card, and you got it taped on the steering wheel of your car, and you got one taped on your computer at work so that you see that verse. And then you find another verse that's about speaking truth. It's right there in Ephesians 4 also. Let us speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And you put that on the card as well. So you got to put off verse, and you got to put on verse. And you memorize them, and you're going to spend a lot of time with those, and you're going to meditate on them, and you're going to pray them in. Oh, God, every day, 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's not the law. It's just a good idea. All right? Some fixed time, so you do it again and again every day, and you start your day with that, and you end your day with that, and you sleep on that, and you have that for lunch. Oh, God, help me to stop thieving. I want to put that off. Oh, God, help me to start being generous and giving. Help me to come up with somebody to give to right now so I start getting in the habit of giving. And every day you're working on this thing. Wage a war. Don't sit passively hoping God changes you. He's put means in your hand. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is taking up, Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, so that you're striking at the things that need to change in you. Put off and put on. I think it was supposed to be Winston Churchill. I love Winston Churchill. I think it was Winston Churchill who said, paraphrase, it's the worst mistake in a time of war to underestimate your enemy and to seek to wage a small war. I think Christians all over the place are waging small wars, if any war at all, against the things they need to put off and for the things they need to put on. Wage war. Make it a big war. Really fight it. You'll be amazed at the power of the Word of God in the hands of the Spirit of God, in the soul of a regenerate child of God, and how He will change you. He will change you. Now, having laid all that down, let's look at Paul's first example of what to change. It's going to be fibbing. It's going to be falsehood. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away, that's where you put off, take that shirt off, the falsehood shirt. I don't want to wear that shirt anymore. Having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth. That's the shirt I want to put on with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So there you are. You've just become a child of God, but you've been a liar. You lie about people in your own thoughts. You don't cross-examine your thoughts that they be true. You just think them because you feel them. Very often, your feelings dictate what you think about somebody. I don't like them. I'm mad at them. I don't like what they did. And now you're ready to believe the worst about them, and you freely do it. You seize any false report you can about them. You put it up on your Facebook page. Yeah, he's this, this, and this. You didn't look into it. You weren't careful about it. You're just angry, and your angry is seeking you to bear false witness against somebody, which is evil. You're actually the evil one in this scene. You're the one bearing false witness because you didn't say, wait a minute, I better cross-examine this. Is that report really true? Can I even know if it's true? Are they really like that? Or is it just that I'm feeling they're that way? Are you all with me? Do you cross-examine yourself because you want your thoughts to be honest? You want your thoughts about them to be the same as God's thoughts about them. Here you are saying, they can't even be saved. And God's saying, they're my blood-bought, redeemed child. Your thoughts aren't the same as God's thoughts. You need to give them a whole lot more grace. So you've been a liar and you're regenerate. And now what you want to do is put off falsehood and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It starts in your mind. It starts in your thoughts. I want my thoughts to be honest thoughts. I want to learn to cross-examine my thoughts. I want to think carefully and righteously. And by the way, when you do this, you will find that a whole lot of your thoughts you can't trust. And you will find that you get a whole lot quieter. It's easy to make up lies. It's easy to spout lies. It's hard to come by truth and say, this is true about somebody, right? You following me? But you want to restrain your tongue. You want to set a guard on your lips till you know something is true about that other person, till you know something is true. Emotional thoughts, angry thoughts, are almost always lying thoughts. Almost always bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice thoughts. How can I change? Come to Christ. Put off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, how you think about truth, and put on the new man. You say, wait a minute, the thing I'm thinking about them, is it really true? Or is it just my anger, my bitterness, my feelings? You've been meditating on put off lying, put on speaking truth. And now you're starting to act according to it. By the way, with whom do we, here's the next slide, with whom do we need to put away falsehood and speak truth? It's probably not, you're probably not lying about somebody in China in a village somewhere that you've never met, right? You're not lying to them. You're not lying about them. Who is it? It's people in your life. It's your husband, it's your wife, it's your parents, it's your children, it's your coworkers, it's your pastors, it's your fellow church members. You want to work very, very hard to think truth and speak truth to and about all the people who are in your life, which means you're going to be quiet a lot. You're going to say, I don't know, a lot. You're going to say, I think maybe it's that, but I really don't know. Don't hold me to it, a lot. Because certainty is hard to come by. Lies are easy to sling. So it's with the people in our lives, speaking only truth, putting away falsehood, makes us quieter people. All right, I've got some conclusions, four of them, and they go kind of fast, so hang in there with me. Take another drink. Agua. Good stuff. Conclusions. So, you need to start here if you haven't started here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be made new. There's grace and pardon and redemption in Christ Jesus. He died on the cross for sinners. You're a sinner. He's a savior. Well, you're a perfect match. Call upon the name of the Lord that he may wash you of your transgressions and give you everlasting life. And then he makes you a new creature in Christ. And then he gives you a new heart, a God-loving, law-loving, people-loving heart. And then he sends the Spirit of God to dwell and to take up residence and to live in you. You become a temple, a dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And then he gives you the Word of God, which is powerful and active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you have all of this working in you then to change you. There's nothing on the planet that can change you like being a new creature in Christ, having the Spirit of God and having the Word of God. You can change. But it starts there, believing on the Lord Jesus. Two, would you please actually right now identify what you most need to put off and put on and commit to it? And get busy. And decide and pray, oh Lord, Now's the time. Would you work on me in that? Now. Oh Lord, would you change me from that to that? Now. If not now, when? We're right in the passage that's about this. If not now, when? Identify what you most need to put off and put on and get busy. And three, commit to doing the hard work of renewing your mind about that thing. Get busy. Find some scripture. Paste it everywhere in your life. Write it on the backside of your eyelids. Every time you blink, you see that. And pray it in and meditate on it and seek the Lord about it. He won't deny you. He won't say, well, I'm sorry, I just don't want to answer your prayers. No, he'll come and make you more holy. And then I'm going to throw in a fourth thing that hasn't been in any of this sermon yet, but here it is, and get a prayer partner. Because James says, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another. There's help in that. There's grace in that. There's merit in that. That does you good. Confess your sins to one another, not like you have a priest, not that whole thing, a brother or sister in Christ that you trust. Confess your sins to one another, and then here's what you want them to do, and here's what you do. And pray for one another. Get a trusted brother or sister informed and ask them, would you pray for me? Because I'm seeking to cut the throat of this thing right here. I'm seeking to put off that guy and become that guy. Would you pray for me? And then they're going to check in with you regularly. They see you after church. Hey, I've been praying for you. How's it going? That'll work for you. The prayer of a righteous person, pick a righteous person, has great power as it is working, James 5:16. There's healing power in a brother or sister in Christ who loves you, will pray with and for you, and will keep you accountable to the thing you're seeking to put off and put on. Now, this is really not that much to do. It was a whole sermon, but it's really not that much to do. Don't raise your hands or anything, but who's ready to get serious about something? Who's ready to start putting off and putting on by being renewed in the spirit of your mind? Who's ready to find, you only need a couple of good verses. Find 40 of them if you want, but a couple will do. Who's ready to find the Word of God pointed at what you need to put off and what you need to become and work it deeply into your soul? You will change to the glory of God and the good of everybody around you. May it be so. Bow with me, please. Thank you, Father, for this time in your holy word. We do pray that this may be a day of saving grace and redemption for those who have come in with us and they're without Christ. Lord Jesus, bow their knees, cause them to confess, Jesus is now my Lord, to your glory. Many of us have, and Father, we want to live to your glory and honor and praise, and we want to put off the old man and put on the new man. May we know unusual power of the Spirit of God in these days while we're in this text, and would you bring about the changes you want in our souls? We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.